If you have seen the Steven Spielberg movie Catch Me If You Can, you are no doubt familiar with the name Frank Abagnale. The former teen con artist is now one of the world's most respected authorities on forgery, embezzlement, and secure documents. He is now a Fraud Watch ambassador for AARP and spoke to me this week in Casper.
Well, there are so many scams. You know, there's the IRS scam, the grandparent scam, the sweepstakes scams. And what I've found amazing even to me is in the 4 years I've been doing this and going to 38 states is that you talk to elderly folks who have lost their life savings, lost their pension, lost their home because they've been defrauded. Everybody who came and said they'd fix their roof and took a huge deposit and never showed up, to the guy that basically said got involved in a love thing with the person, they never met them, but eventually they ask them for money and they give them money. So I've always approached crime for the last four decades as looking at education being the most powerful tool. So whether I'm training an FBI agent or I'm training a bank teller or I'm training a CFO of a company or a person that's just a consumer, if I can explain to them, here's the scams, here's how they work. These are the two things that constitute to make the scam work. They have to have these two elements. If you know this, then when you get that phone call or you get that email or you get that letter, you'll know that. The truth is the majority of people are honest. And because they're honest, they don't have a deceptive mind. So if they go over to the phone and it's ringing and they have caller ID and it says Casper Police Department, they believe it is the Casper Police Department because no one told them you can easily manipulate the caller ID. And then they start to tell you all this information about arresting your grandson. They give you his name, the girlfriend's name he was in the car with, what kind of car he was driving, his parents' name, because they collected all of that from social media to give them credibility on the phone. You're convinced that, well, this must be the police department. And he needs to make bail in the next couple of hours. He'll have to spend the weekend in jail. He asks us to call you, not his parents. Well, how do I do that? Well, you can give me a credit card, and we'll put the bail money on that. And I can see why people fall for these things. Unless someone already explained that to them, then they'd say, no, I know about this scam and I know how it works.
So your first advice to probably somebody in that type of situation is don't give your credit card to anybody on the phone?
Well, the first advice is this. Remember that every scam, no matter what the scam is, every scam requires two elements. One, I'm going to have to tell you that you have to give me the money immediately. It has to happen right now. You can't say, well, can I come down and pay it? Can I mail it in? No, you have to give me something right now. And the other scam is that there's always money ahead of time. So there's always, if you want a sweepstake, they tell you, well, there's a minimum money you have to pay to get the sweepstake. Those two things have to be in pleasure. They're asking you either for a credit card number, personal information. So I tell people, look, if you met someone on the internet and you're having a great relationship with them and you speak to them on the phone and all that, that's fine that they're keeping you company and you feel comfortable. But when the day comes and you say to them, hey, look, you know, I've never actually met you. Why don't you come visit me? You only live one state away. Well, you know, I would, but I have to have this operation and it's $30,000 and I don't have the money. And, oh, well, you know, I could loan you the money. The minute money comes in, that's a red flag. And the minute I have to tell you, you have to do it immediately, that's the other red flag. And if you just remember those things, you get yourself away from a lot of scams.
The stuff online and sometimes the emails, I've almost fallen for a couple of these things. What are some of the things you're hearing about that are happening right now that people need to really watch for?
Well, 99% of ransomware comes from a phishing email. What we've seen, though, is that the phishing emails are getting very sophisticated. So, for example, the ones I see would say, hi, Karen, great having lunch with you today. We need to do that again real soon. I hope you and your husband, Robert, have fun with the kids at Disney World this week while you're away. When you get back, call me and we'll do lunch. By the way, I saw this on YouTube. I thought you'd enjoy it. Here's the link. And what's happening is they're going to social media because she already said her husband's name. She already said they were going to Disney World. She mentioned they were going to lunch together. People say so many things that they put out there in social media that criminals have learned, if I can get all of that information, that gives me so much credibility that you would never question that email. You'd say, well, obviously it must be her. I just left her from lunch. And that's what gets real scary.
I want to ask you about that because I see so many people that go on trips and they post these pictures on Instagram and Facebook. How much are they putting themselves at risk?
Way too much. So I'm not on social media, but if you put your picture on social media and it's a regular type photo of you like it would be in a yearbook or a driver's license, One, I can capture that image of you and then use that image on identification to say that I am you. And two, I can basically track you through software that's available like PitPat and Find a Face that all go back to me taking a picture of you and then finding you on social media. So I always tell people you never want a straight photograph of yourself on Facebook. You want a picture of you and your dog, you and your friends, your arms around a bunch of friends playing soccer. Second, you never want to tell someone on Facebook where you were born and your date of birth, because that's 98% of me stealing your identity. If I know those two things, I'm 98% of taking your identity. So I tell people, never tell anybody those two things on social media.
So you've just scared the hell out of a lot of people listening to us right now.
So hopefully they'll do what a lot of people do. They'll go back and take that off. Yeah.
And so you're saying the way to go is just have some multiple folks in the picture.
Right. And here's another thing. Up until September 1st of this year, in order to freeze your credit, which you should have the right to do, because only you should have the right to who sees your credit, only 8 states allowed you to do that for free. All the other states required a fee. So it was $10 to freeze it, $15 to unfreeze it, $10 to freeze it again. Plus you had 3 credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. Now, September 1st, a federal law has gone into effect on September 1st that all 50 states will allow you to freeze your credit at no fee to you. So I tell people, look, if you're 70 years old, you own your house, you own your cars, you have a few credit cards, you don't need your credit. Freeze your credit so that nobody can see it unless you want them to see it. If you need to go buy a washer and dryer and you want to finance it for 12 months, you release your credit to the appliance store so they can get the credit approved, and then it's frozen again. And that would be the same for a young person. So I would recommend anybody after September 1st just freeze their credit, because the truth is you never gave the credit bureau permission to have your information. You never signed a piece of paper that said, hey, you can keep all this personal data about me, and on top of that, you can sell it for billions of dollars for background checks, credit checks. You never did that. So you should at least have the right to say, look, you might store my data, but you cannot show it to anyone unless I authorize you to show it to someone. And that's the way it should be. You should have control over your own personal information.
How can we prevent folks from hacking us?
You got to be a little smarter today and a little wiser today. A lot of companies, as I tell them every day, if you look at every breach, including Equifax, it happened because somebody in that company did something they weren't supposed to do, or somebody in that company did something, failed to do something they were supposed to do. Hackers do not cause breaches; people do. So in the case of Equifax, they didn't keep up their infrastructure, they didn't fix it because it was that attitude of, it can't happen to me, I don't want to spend the money. So these are people having data, personal information about you, but they don't have it protected. And if you do that, then you're just opening the door to hackers. And there are so many doors, hackers just go choose where they want to go.
Frank, how can they get more of your tips? Can they go places online and check it out?
Yes, you can. On the consumer side, AARP has a website, Fraud Watch Network. It's free. You don't have to be an AARP member. They have a toll-free number in case you are a victim or you think you're being victimized, and they'll talk you through it. And, of course, on my website at abingdale.com, I write everything involving embezzlement, check forgery, counterfeiting, identity theft, things that people are concerned about, those on the business side of it.
Frank, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.